Once upon another time, somebody's hands who felt like mine turned the key and took a drive, was free. Sun sank low, Buckley on the radio, cigarette was burning slow, so breathe, just yellow lines and tire marks and sun-kissed skin and handlebars, and where I stood was where I was to be. No enemies to call my own, no porch light on to pull me home. And where I was is beautiful because I was free. Once upon another time, before I knew which life was mine, before I left the child behind me, I saw myself in summer nights and stars lit up like candlelight. I make my wish, but mostly I believed in yellow lines and tire marks and sun-kissed skin and handlebars, and where I stood was where I was to be. Oh, once upon another time, decided nothing good in dying, so I would just keep on driving. Because I was free.
Our call to worship this morning comes from Sarah Eileen LaWall, and it's from the Unitarian Universalist Association website. Seeking that which unites us. Spirit of life and love, in this time of uncertainty, of fear and angst, our nation holds its collective breath. In this time when rhetoric blusters about and words are used as weapons, our nation clenches its fists, tightens its shoulders, eyes squeezed shut, some are prepared to fight. May we remember that we are a people of resilience. We have faced uncertainty before. We have weathered storms. We have been consumed by flames. We have risen like the phoenix from the ashes. And we will again, we, the people. May we remember our shared humanity, our universal kinship, our interdependence, as we unclench our fists and breathe together. breathing in love, breathing out peace. May we recognize the spark of the divine inside each of us, even those we are not quite sure of. In this time of uncertainty, we remember the good will go on. As we work to move forward together, we, the people, seeking that which unites us, with our arms reaching out wide for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, may love prevail. In the name of all that is holy, we pray. Amen.
Do ya? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Here before, I know this room, I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew ya. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch, but love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 I did my best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool ya. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
So this is a service where this is based on Robert R. Murrow's radio show, and I think is NPR's show, where people come up and or people have an opportunity to give a talk about what they believe. And it could be religious, it could be kind of anything that really touches their heart, but it's something that is meaningful to them. We've done this for a few years now. We've asked people to come up. We're going to have a combination of speakers who have prepared their own talks, who will come up, and Pam has graciously gone through our archives and looked for readings that I've handed out. I do have a few more that people like to come up and have a voice. I can hand those out as well. So I think we're going to open it up pretty much to people who want to come up, want to do that, Pam. And first person who wants to come up, anybody? Otherwise, I'll choose. Kevin, I think I'm going to choose Kevin. Yep. And if you could introduce yourself.
Sure. Oh boy, I will try not to cry during this. My name is Kevin Dart, and it's my wife Alina and our son Noah, and Lucas is the blonde guy running around. Let's see, good thing I have this on paper too, I guess. So I was asked to do this November 3rd. I'm going to try to stay on page. But I would like to say that the concerns that I don't want to get too deep into, I'm doing a good job at separating politics from just the humanity side. And I believe that there's no political affiliation for that. And having Jerry here verifies that. So I'd like to thank everybody for asking me to do this, because it's been just writing this, merely writing this, had an immense effect on me. This I believe. When Kathy asked me to speak on this topic, I was flattered, excited, and nervous. I was flattered because I believed it meant she and the others who asked me to speak, amongst other things, respected my words enough to want to hear some more of those words. And this means an incredible amount to me, as I believe it should to anyone any time they are asked to speak. I was excited, for one reason, because I believe speaking in public has always represented an opportunity to amplify one's message, and with that, the inherent truth within that message can resonate into the world. And I believe in truth. I believe in it so much in this context that I just naturally capitalized it on this page without hesitation. I believe the essence of truth comes from somewhere beyond all we know and is a main thread in the fabric that is my personal definition and understanding of my God. And I was nervous. I was nervous because I felt the weight of this statement, and as I first thought of what to say, I found it hard to find the words to say, and that spoke volumes to me. So what do I believe? From the time I was asked to write this 11 days ago until I sat down last night and carried into this early morning, I had struggled to trust an answer from within myself, especially immediately after this past Tuesday, yet my lack of a clear-cut answer did not represent to me that I did not have beliefs. I have never believed that I do not have beliefs. That would be quite a paradox. And as you can hear, as soon as I started to write this, my beliefs began spilling onto this page. And more so are in my head. And I have many, many beliefs. Now at this time in my writing, around 2:45 this morning, my son Lucas called me into his room with a dad. Yes, Lucas? Do you want to snuggle with me? There may be nothing greater than that feeling of bringing comfort to my son through simply my presence. Half laying on the edge of his bed, with my feet on the floor. My torso, thank you. I thought of that before I came up and totally forgot. My torso is barely shorter than the length of his body. All snuggled up. And just for a few minutes while I hear the cadence of his breathing, take him back into a peaceful sleep. There may be nothing greater than that feeling, and I have felt that feeling many times in my life, in many ways, and I believe, and in fact I know, you all have felt that feeling. That feeling is only alive because it's a feeling joined between beings. That feeling only exists because he desires something, and I can and willingly give him that something. He believes I can comfort him So he calls, and I believe I can comfort him, so I go. And we've acted on this so many times in so many ways that we don't think of it in terms of believings. We just are, and we do. And it is. It is truth, and it is love. And I want that feeling more. And more, and more, as much as my life will permit it. And I can admit to you that I have felt many other feelings on the other side of that spectrum in my past, both recent and long past, some small and some great, some self-inflicted, some inflicted by others, and some because I was the one inflicting them. I do not believe that I have been a perfect person, but I know that I, right now, am a better person than many, if not all, of the eyes I was in the past. And I believe that there is still a better version of myself to come, and I try to tell myself this often. And I believe that the better versions of myself will continue to create many more of those wonderful moments. This I believe. I believe the world is a reflection of ourselves, and I do not believe that the world is perfect, just as I do not believe that I am perfect. And if I am capable of becoming a better version of myself over and over again, so is the world capable of becoming a better version of itself over and over again. And I hope my family is a microcosm of the world at large. And if I work at it, I can forge that hope into a belief that my family is a microcosm of the world at large. So I believe, as I view the world as my family at large, if you have hopes, if we have hopes, those hopes can be forged into beliefs. And when those beliefs are acted upon, we reinforce truth and love within this world so that we can all find the next better versions of ourselves and experience many, many more of those precious moments. Thank you.
So what I'd like to do is intersperse. We've had some messages from ministers in our area. So I'd like Pam to come up and read those. They're relatively short, but I think it's worth hearing today.
Before I read, I wanted to comment that you may have noticed the wonderful artwork we have up here. Our topic of this, I believe, presents itself usually as spoken word, but we can express our beliefs through many different avenues, including our artistic creativity. These are by Irene Kaufman, who has very graciously brought them here to share with us. Yay, I agree. And was describing to me, if you'll see to the left here, there is the Rousseau painting of the sleeping gypsy that inspired her to do The Curious Tiger. So it has the same oriental theme, but putting her own individual beautiful stamp to it. I also understand that Irene is a very talented portrait artist, and part of the heart and talent that she has is to see the person within the picture. So I'm very grateful for Irene to have brought these here, and hope that in our future services, when we have a participation, it doesn't have to be limited to what we say, but can also be including what we do. George mentioned in his joy and concern the email from Reverend Brammer, but I hope all of you have seen, but if you have not, it goes like this. This was written on Wednesday. It is the morning after, and I wonder, how are each of you doing? Some of us are thrilled that maybe now something will be done differently, something that includes those of us who feel discounted or disrespected. Just as many of us are shocked, sad, enraged, seeing that this election has ushered in a wave of dangerous disrespect for multiple groups of people. What has surfaced for me as a liberally religious minister is that those of us who consider ourselves politically liberal and educated need to open our hearts and listen well to what this vote communicates. Seek to understand beyond our assumptions what our neighbors have expressed by voting for Trump. Recalibrate what we think we knew. Then begin to work again for compassion and change that includes conversation and building a bridge to those we have seen as the other side. So I guess that goes the other way as well. Those of us who voted for Trump, a Trump-sized change, now get to try to figure out how to build a bridge from that side too. There is much to learn and much to do. There has always been much to learn and much to do. Go to your source, to your ultimate ground, and ask for peace and strength. Half of us will need to grieve together to be able to do that. Then we are challenged to share together. Then even harder, pray and learn together. Then we walk together and rebuild together. Together we will also argue and fight and use whatever leverage we have to stand on the side of love. Call a few folks at the fellowship, more than just your closest friends. Check in and see how they're doing. Invite them out for coffee and conversation, as George has done. Open the fellowship and invite folks to come and sing and talk. Reach out and support others, and you will be supported too. Now that I have unabashedly recommended what you should do, something I usually try to stay away from doing, I hope you close this message and find what is right and true in your own heart. Blessings to you and yours. Blessings to all of us. No exceptions. In covenant and with love, Reverend Cameron Brammer. Since we did reach out to some people and they prepared, I would love to invite Harold up to speak next.
Good morning. I'm Harold Stillman. Also serve as vice president of the 4th UU, which I'm proud to do. I will be brief. I'm not a wordsmith. I'm an artist. I paint, and I express my thoughts through paint. But before I even start, I just want to note, and this should have been during Joys and Concerns, but I was reminded by the song that was sung by Emma and Pam, Hallelujah, which was written by Leonard Cohen, who passed away this past week at the age of 82. He was one of the greatest poets, music writers, and of our time. So he will be missed, but his music will stay with us. A lot of thoughts, when I was asked to do this, a lot of thoughts passed through my mind. What should I write about? Things changed this past week. You know, and what I originally put down on paper, I realized really wasn't what I really wanted to say. So I'm going to go into a topic which is important to me. It's what I really feel strongly about, and that involves nature. I love trees. I love trees. I paint trees. Not literally. I paint them on canvas. I believe in trees. I believe they're beautiful. They're strong, resilient. They grow in diverse communities where each is unique and special. Some are tall. Some are not so tall. They're short. There are stout trees. There are slender trees. They are non-judgmental and are, in fact, very accepting. And despite the best efforts of the worst individuals, they will hopefully always be with us. Trees willingly provide homes for animals and shade, building materials, and fuels for us humans. In the summer, trees cover the landscape with a rich green coating. Now, when I was a child, I used to climb trees when I was a little child. And every summer, I would come up to this area because my grandparents had a summer home in Cortland. And I would most often be up in a tree. I would read in a tree. Sometimes my grandmother had to bring me my lunch in a tree, which she did. She indulged me, although she thought I was a little strange. You know, perhaps I was. Autumn. In autumn, trees reward us with an array of colors that surpass any artist's palette. It is during winter, however, that I believe that trees display their real strength. They stand proud and prove that they can withstand the freezing cold and most blizzardy conditions that nature can muster. And then come spring, they come alive again with the promise of a new and fruitful beginning. Not all trees survive, and when they don't, they eventually fall and provide shelter and food for tiny animals, and they nourish the earth. I just wanted to share a couple of my paintings. This is one that I painted several years ago while we were hiking in FDR Park in early December, and the landscape at that point was post-autumn. The colors were primarily earthy colors, rich earthy colors. We came upon a tree that had survived and retained all of its leaves. And I call this painting The Survivor because to me it represented the strength of nature and the strength of the small little tree in a forest that had gone dormant. In the back, I have another one of my paintings, which I painted years ago, and that's from my imagination. And that one I call Mystery and Hope, because it, to me, it represents what could be. And in this time of change and uncertainty, I hope and I pray that we will find our way, and we will survive. We will, like the trees, we will be strong, and we will survive. Thank you.
Do you want to do another reading, or just keep on going? Gretchen, are you ready?
My name is Gretchen Ostrander. I am a Unitarian Universalist, and this is what I believe. I believe in God, and I am also a humanist. I believe in heaven, but I do not believe in hell. If you ask me whether or not I believe in angels or the afterlife, I'd have to say the answer is more yes than no. I say there is no straight answer. There is no black or white, only shades of gray. I don't believe life is meant to be lived in binaries. Good, bad, black, white, gay, straight, human, divine, Unitarianism, Christianity, etc. I believe in shades of gray. I believe in rainbows. Speaking of rainbows, I learned from Reverend Elizabeth Edmond, author of Queer Virtue, that being queer is something that has at its center an impulse to disrupt any and all efforts to reduce into simplistic dualisms our experience of life, of God. Reverend Edmond said that she thinks it's a complete waste of time to explain why God doesn't blame her for being lesbian. I believe, like most Unitarians, that love is love is love. After sharing a rough draft of this essay, I was not only pleasantly surprised that Reverend Edmond affirmed my belief statements and that she was excited about me raising the consciousness about binaries, I was also pleasantly surprised that I was right. She wanted me to call her Liz. I believe most people are good most of the time. I believe people eat meat because they're caught up in our culture of what tastes good now. I believe they forget about the feelings of farm animals, and they don't think about the working conditions of the people who slaughter them. I believe speciesism exists. Just because I love my dog more than I love a pig or a coyote doesn't mean farm animals or wild animals are worse. Yes, I believe the lives of both humans and non-humans matter. That is why I believe in the First Principle Project, the inherent worth and dignity of every being. I believe that if 4th U doesn't support the First Principle Project, it will still pass nationally anyway. I believe changing the consciousness of people and how they think of humans and non-humans beings as beings is a good thing. I believe most people are good most of the time. Of course, all lives matter. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be a vegetarian and I wouldn't be a vet tech student. But I also believe in Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is about focusing on Black lives because they have been beaten, sent to prison, and killed for hundreds of years. It's their turn for equal rights. I also support Black Lives Matter because, as a New York City teacher, most of my students were non-white. I love my students. I cried very hard when I left my job. I believe injustices toward non-white people will not change, but I can't step by and do nothing. I believe one person makes a difference. I believe fighting against the pipeline here in Westchester County is a losing battle. I believe that if I do nothing to help the environment, then I couldn't live with myself. If you say one person doesn't make a difference, then look at Pete Seeger. He's probably the single most famous person who helped clean up the Hudson River. And just by a pleasant coincidence, he was a Unitarian. I believe kindness matters. Like saying hello to a stranger, turning lights off when you leave an empty room, or not buying food or soaps with palm oil do make differences. Who knows if that stranger was suffering from depression? Who knows if 1,000 other people turned off lights to save electricity at the same time? And who knows if one orangutan lived because his or her home was not chopped down to farm palm oil? Maybe God knows. This is what I believe. Thank you.
Some of you know that I work as the administrator at the White Plains Unitarian Congregation, and because of that, a lot of things come through my email, including the emails to other congregations. So I actually want to read the one from the minister in charge there, who is Reverend Meredith Garman. His message this week in the newsletter was, "The election was a shock for many of us. I saw one comment, your shock is a sign of your privilege. Yes, it is a privilege to be able to hope for something better. Certain of our hopes have been set back. And in such times of disappointment, we may remember, as Martin Luther King said, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. We are privileged, too, to be resilient, to have the capacity for infinite hope. We have known for some time that there was a lot of work to do. We know that racial distrust, misogyny, hatred, and a lot of misplaced blame infected our country. We now know that Trump supporters turned out to be 47.5% of the electorate instead of 44 to 45%, and that those supporters were distributed in a way that allowed him to win the Electoral College, which surprised some of us, but that's a relatively small learning compared to what we have known for some time, that the work of moving our country toward understanding and respect for all stands before us, and that this work will be slow and cannot be accomplished by government fiat. It is a privilege to be able to join together in the work for justice, what love looks like in public. It is a privilege too, as Dorothy Day said, lay one brick at a time, take one step at a time. No one has the right to sit down and feel hopeless. There's too much work to do. It is a privilege to have a light to shine in a time of darkness. Let us not neglect to shine it. I think we have Alona and Eric. Right, Alona, would you like to speak next?
Hi, I'm Alona. Unlike many of the speakers, I found out at 10:29 today that Mark wasn't going to be able to do his speech, and so that there was an opening. I thought there was an opening for someone to express their beliefs. So I just felt that even though I haven't prepared something, there's something kind of burning in my heart that I want to share. And this is, I have been for the last number of years been a part of sort of something larger called conscious evolution. And it is that there are different levels on the earth plane, and something larger is happening. And that's something larger. There might be tumult in the process, but that it's going to be amazing. And that we humans are evolving, and we're evolving consciously, and to move into a greater oneness. And I was on on October 23rd, it was Global Oneness Day, and you could sign up for it. So I signed up for it, and then you can listen to all the speeches. And there were many, many speeches. Deepak Chopra was one of, but there was so many of them. There were 200,000 people from all around the world who signed up for this and who are all listening to all of these people talking about something larger and this sense of we are all one. And it is all, but most, a lot of people said, Kevin said, is it's all based in love, and that we are moving to something greater, and that we are all capable of becoming our best selves and moving on. And it's about people working with people to create this. And one of the speakers, Jean Houston, who I took a class with, 11-month class with her, but she was one of the speakers on one of the panels. And she said that one of the things most hopeful in her, she goes, speaks all around the world, and she worked with women in northern Syria. And there were a group of women who were together, working together to create something better. And it's like people are popping up all around the world. So I just kind of want to share this larger vision that something that is amazing is happening at the same time that we're going through a lot of this tumult. So that is what I wanted to share and my belief.
Eric, can you come up?
Hi, my name is Eric. I was given something to read. Sharing someone else's beliefs. So this is Phil Powers is the executive director of the American Alpine Club, He's made dozens of mountaineering expeditions in Alaska, Asia, and South America since he began climbing as a boy in Oklahoma. Powers has written 2 books on mountain climbing and lives in Denver with his wife and children. So these are his words. I believe in the importance of pace. I grew up in a frantic household, both parents working jobs that demanded their attention 24/7. I was little and fast and rushed around, and I still have that person inside of me, always at risk of moving too quickly, missing the connection, making mistakes. The forest behind our house offered a peaceful respite. My passion for the vertical world took me from tall trees in my backyard to climbing steep cliffs and crags. As a teen, I was moving easily over the landscape of the American West and was drawn to higher summits. When I was 19, I learned something called the rest step from an old mountain climber named Paul Penzoldt. He advised me to rest in the middle of each step completely, but briefly. The rest step, which I still practice today, allows me to walk or climb with little effort. I can move very quickly, yet still find a pause in every step. The awareness of pace I owe to my teacher has served me when I am seeking the world's highest summits, sharing my love of the mountains with others, or kneeling to look at my son Gus in the eye when he has a question. It serves me when I drive, adjusting my speed to gain a little bit of calm and reach my destination only minutes behind the record time a faster lane might provide. It serves me at home when I'm making where we maintain a tradition of gathering each night at the dinner table to eat and talk to the other. In times of crisis, pace comes to my aid. Another of Penzoldt's lessons was, when faced in a time of emergency, sit down, collect yourself, and make a plan. When needs seem most urgent, even life-threatening, the practice of slowing down offers calm and clarity. In 1987, I was climbing in Pakistan to climb the Gusherburn 2, one of the world's highest peaks. We were a small group, and it was a very big mountain. Our expedition faced more than a share of difficulty. A long storm wiped out most of our food rations, and an avalanche devastated our camp, obliterating our tents. One of our party developed altitude sickness. Blood poisoning threatened another. In the face of each disaster, we carefully developed a new plan. Snow caves replaced lost tents. Soups replaced full meals. Eventually, we climbed slowly to the top and then made our way safely down. Concentrating on how I move through the world is important. It is why I reach mountain summits and life goals with energy to spare. There is magic in any faith. Every once in a while, rushing about, my belief in pace rises up, slows me down, and grants me a view of a sunset, a smile from a stranger, or a conversation with a child. I owe these moments to what I learned from an old mountain climber and have practiced ever since. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're gonna do a hymn. I think it would be nice to do the hymn, okay? Since you and your daughter are here, I think it would be nice to hear. Are you helping? And then we're gonna have our congregational sharing afterwards.